TED Audio Collective.
This show is brought to you by Schwab. You're here to keep a pulse on environmental trends. Well, now you can invest in what's trending in electric vehicles, renewable energy, water sustainability, and more with Schwab Investing Themes. It's an easy way to invest in ideas you believe in. Schwab's research uncovers emerging trends, then their technology curates relevant stocks into themes. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy all the stocks in a theme as is or customize to better fit your investing goals. All in a few clicks. Schwab Investing Themes is not intended to be investment advice or a recommendation of any stock or investment strategy. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing. TED Talks Daily is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, modern management made simple.
This TED Talk features mental health advocate Satawa Wafula, recorded live at TED Nairobi Idea Search 2017.
I have a confession. I have been in an affair since I was 17 years old. I wish I could talk about butterflies in my stomach or maps I drew on the ground when I think about this affair, but I cannot. I wish I could talk about sweet words spoken or gifts that I received from this affair, but I cannot. All I can tell you about is the aftermath. About days I spent constantly asking, why me? I remember how it all began. I was in my final year of high school, and my class had just won in the sports, so we were singing and dancing and hugging each other. I went and took a shower, then I went for dinner. And when I sat down to eat, my teeth started chattering, and so I couldn't put the spoon in my mouth. And I rushed to the nurse's office, and because I couldn't talk, I just pointed at my mouth. And she didn't know what was happening, so she told me to lie down, and it worked. After a few minutes, the chattering stopped, and I was about to dash out, and she told me, no, she insisted that I go up to the dormitories to sleep. Here I was in my final year of high school, just a few months from doing my end of high school exams, and a few days from doing a set of exams we call here in Kenya MOOCs, which are somehow meant to gauge how prepared one is for the final exams. There's no way I was going to sleep and let a set of exams mook me. I went to class, sat down, took my Kenyan history notes, and there I was down Kenyan coastal town with the great Mekatilili Wa Menza, the Griama woman who led her people against British colonial rule. Then, without any notice, my left hand started jerking. And it was as if I was marking imaginary papers. And in and out it went. And with every stroke, one by one, my classmates stopped concentrating on their reading and started looking at me. And I tried really hard to stop it, but I couldn't because it had a life of its own. And then, when it was sure everybody was looking at us, in its final show and official introduction, I had my first full-blown seizure, which was the beginning of what has been a 15-year-long affair. Seizures are the trademark characteristic for most types of epilepsy, and every first ever seizure needs to be assessed by a doctor to determine if one has epilepsy or if it's a symptom of something else. In my case, it was confirmed that I have epilepsy. I spend a large chunk of my time in hospital and at home, and I only went back to do my final exams. I had seizures in between papers, but managed to get good enough grades to be admitted for an actuarial science degree at the University of Nairobi. Unfortunately, I had to drop out in my second year. I didn't have good enough coping skills and a support community around me. I was lucky enough to get a job, but I was fired from that job when I had a seizure in the workplace. So I found myself in a space where I was constantly asking myself why this had to happen to me. And I lived in denial for a long time. And the denial was maybe because of the things that had happened, dropping out of school and being fired from a job. Or maybe it was because of the things I had heard about epilepsy and about people living with epilepsy, that they would never live on their own, that they would never travel on their own or even get work, that they were outcasts with a spirit in them that they needed to be delivered from. And so the more I thought about these things, the more my seizures became. And I spent days with my legs locked, and my speech became blurred. And on days on end, this is how I'd be. 2 or 3 days after a seizure, my head and my hand would still be twitching. I felt lost, like I'd lost everything. And sometimes, even the will to live. I had so much frustration in me. And so I started writing because the people around me didn't have answers to the questions that I had. And so I wrote my fears and my doubts. And I wrote about my good days and my bad days and my really ugly days. And I shared them on a blog. And before long, I began to be seen and heard by people who had epilepsy and their families, and even those who did not have the diagnosis. And I moved from that girl who constantly asked, why me, to one who not only self-advocates, but does it for those who are yet to find their voices. My seizures have greatly reduced from 2 to 3 times a day to sometimes 2 to 3 times in 1 year. I went on to employ 5 people when I began what was Kenya's first free mental health and epilepsy support line. And I travel to speak about my affair. All these things that I have been told people like me living with epilepsy could never be able to do. Every year, a population as big as 80% of Nairobi gets diagnosed with epilepsy across the globe. And they, like me, go through the motions of stigma and exclusion. And so I have made it my life journey to keep these conversations going. And I keep confessing about my affair so that those people who do not have the diagnosis might know and might have a constant reminder that it is all right to engage with people like us, that as long as they pull down the walls of stigma and exclusion, that we, just like them, can be able to take anything life throws at us. Thank you.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com.